Well, I'm going to be reading from John chapter 4 today. Just going to take a little excerpt, so if you want to go there, 4:23. Today I am introducing our church's new vision, mission, process statement, which is on the front of the bulletin there. We gather, grow, and go in Christ. Now, why have we adopted this statement? Well, we want everybody to be able to understand for themselves and be able to quickly communicate to others what this church is all about. There's several reasons I've listed here. Number one, it does get us all on the same page. What are we trying to accomplish here? Do we all know what this church is all about and what we're trying to see happen? We want to be a church that gathers regularly for worship and fellowship and study and prayer. And we want to be a church that is growing together in Christ and is going out to the world to make disciples. And that's really what the church is all about. And we want everyone to understand that and to know if they're going to come to this church, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be gathering, we're going to be growing, and we're going to be going. Number two, it's a great tool for evaluating ourselves and the church. Am I gathering for worship? Am I gathering with believers? Am I enjoying fellowship relationships with others? Am I praying with others? Am I studying the Word with others? Are these things a part of my life? Am I gathering? Am I growing in my faith? Am I taking advantage of the opportunities I have to grow? Am I going? Am I reaching out to the lost around me? Do I even know any unbelievers? Or am I praying for the lost? And as a church, if we start thinking about starting new activities, we need to ask ourselves, are these activities part of gathering, growing, and going? We might decide, hey, let's start a basketball league. And that'd be great. I love basketball, though I'm not very good at it anymore. If we're just playing basketball, that would be a terrible thing to do, because we'd be gathering, but just gathering to play basketball is not part of our mission. I don't know how we would grow from that. We'd probably get mad at one another because we foul one another when we're playing basketball. I've seen many of that happen in a few church leagues I've been involved in. Are we reaching out? Now, there are ways that you could run a basketball league. And now, we're not going to start a basketball league. Don't take that from this sermon. But it's just an example. We could purposefully have a basketball league for the purpose of outreach. You know, maybe we stop and have a devotion at halftime, or use it to reach out to the community and pull people in so that we can share the gospel. See, you're evaluating what you do in light of your mission instead of just, let's try this, let's try that. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. How are we going to accomplish it? And if something doesn't fit, we don't do it. If it's not part of gathering, growing, and going. So it's a great tool of evaluation. It makes it easy to tell visitors who come to church and people with whom we interact in the world what our church is all about really quickly. Well, you can come to our church. We do three things. We gather, we grow, and we go. And you can explain each one of those however much detail you want. But people know, we know what we're about, and we know what we're trying to accomplish, and they can either buy into that or not. So it's an easy way to communicate what our church is about. And there are numerous other things that we could say about it and why we would need this statement. So I've called it three different things: a vision statement, a mission statement, and a process statement. It's a vision statement in that it's what we want to see happen. It's where we want to go. It's the vision for the future that we have. It's also a mission statement. It describes what our mission is. What are we supposed to be doing today? Worship, discipleship, evangelism, and outreach. That's what we should be about. And it's a process statement to some degree. It describes growing as a disciple. I mean, usually the first thing that someone does when they have some interaction with the church is gather somewhere for something. They come to worship service. They come to a fellowship event. They come to a Bible study. So the first step to coming to be a part of a church is to gather in some place doing something that the church does. And then if they invest a little further in, they'll grow in their faith. If they're true believers and they come in and they get involved in worship, they get involved in Bible studies and prayer groups and what have you, well, you're going to grow because that's the means of grace. That's what God has given us for our growth. And then hopefully as we grow, as someone who comes in grows, they will be able to multiply. They'll go out and share the things that they have learned with others. And through the power of the Holy Spirit working in their efforts, they'll begin to make other disciples. And then it just keeps going and going and going. Hopefully, multiplication. So it's a process statement in that that's where we want to see people who are not just showing up, but who are actually growing and then going on mission themselves. So it's a process statement. Well, today, in the next two Sunday mornings, I'm going to break down these three G's, gather, grow, and go. So let's talk this morning about gathering. And here's what I'm going to say in one short sentence. We gather because God gathers. And I'm going to break that down. Well, John 4:23 is our text, 4:23 through 26. And let's just follow along as I read. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, said to Him, I know that Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. That word tell us there is an interesting word because it's not just, you know, He's going to tell us some stuff. It's because He's going to make a royal announcement. He's an envoy bringing some very important information. That's what she's saying. When the Messiah comes, He's going to tell us the truth. He's going to show us the truth. And she believes, of course, that Jesus is the Messiah and goes and shares it with others. Well, first of all, I didn't mean to say all that right there, but I just thought it was interesting. First thing I want to see is that God gathers. You'll notice there that it says that the hour is coming and now is here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. He is seeking people to worship Him. God is seeking, He's searching for, He's looking for, He desires people to worship Him. If you look at the entire story of the Bible, from the very beginning all the way to the book of Revelation, you have the story of history. His story, we like to say, because it's God who's the Lord of history. And He's foreordained everything that comes to pass, and He's got a purpose behind all of it. And if you look at the story of the Bible, the story of all of history, what you'll see there is God gathering people to Himself throughout history. He calls Abraham to Himself, and from him, a people for Himself. He gathered these people out of Egypt through Moses and the Exodus. And He gathered those people at Mount Sinai. And He gave them His word, His law, revealed Himself to them. He made a covenant with them there that He would be their God and that they would be His people. And then He brought them into the promised land, the land that He promised to Abraham, so that they could live there and be His people. He had them build a temple, and He filled the temple, and He dwelt there among His people. And, of course, they were unfaithful to Him, They worshiped the gods of the peoples around them, so they were sent into exile. The Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom, and then the Babylonians conquered the southern kingdom about 150 years later. But then God gathered them back in from the nations, and they rebuilt the temple, and they lived there. And then finally, he sent the promised Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God. And what did Jesus do? He gathered disciples around him. They came and followed him, and they learned from him, and they began to understand who he was and what his mission was. And these apostles, these witnesses of what Jesus did, wrote down these things for us. And so today, we know these things. We have the apostolic testimony of who Jesus is and what he did in his life, death, resurrection, ascension to heaven, and his eventual return. And what was Jesus' mission? He said it himself. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. See, they have told us too that we can be gathered as his people through the forgiveness and atonement that are provided by Jesus. So if you're a believer here today, at some point you heard the gospel. Maybe you don't remember a day if you were a child growing up in the church. You don't remember a day when you didn't understand the gospel. But God opened your eyes to the gospel. And you believed and trusted him, and you're walking with him. Maybe you grew up in the church and it took you a little longer. And I was laughing, a friend of mine was talking about this, and he said, maybe you went to a camp or some meeting and you heard the gospel for the very first time, and you wondered, even though your dad was a preacher, why he never told you the gospel, when of course he'd done it all the days of your life. You just didn't have the ears to hear it. The Holy Spirit hadn't opened up your mind. Frank Barker, who started Briarwood Presbyterian in Birmingham, he went to seminary before he was a Christian, which is kind of weird. And he was reading all these books and studying, and then someone shared the gospel with him, and he heard it for the very first time, and he was wondering, why in the world had no one ever told him the gospel? And then he went back and looked at the books that he'd been studying in seminary, and it was all over the place. He just couldn't see it. Well, maybe that's you. Maybe you did grow up in the church, but at a later date, yeah, you came, the Lord revealed himself to you, and you believed. Or maybe you weren't raised in the church at all, and you had an experience like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, where the lights were turned on and your life was changed. It doesn't matter. God reached out to you. Maybe it was through your upbringing. Maybe it was through a special event. Maybe it was through a providential encounter with someone when you weren't even looking to come to the Lord. But God reached out to you. He took the initiative. He revealed himself to you. He sent his Spirit to regenerate your heart and mind so that you could understand the gospel. And now you belong to him. He's gathered you up. And what Peter says about the church is true of you. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We've been chosen and gathered and brought into his family, into the church. And at some point, Jesus is going to come back. And what's he going to do when he comes back? Going to gather his people up, and they're going to be with him. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him. Matthew 24, 31, and this is throughout the, he says this, many of the Gospels record this. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, And so we will always be with the Lord. Always. He's gathering up His people when He returns. Revelation 21, we have this vision of the new heavens and new earth. And the holy city, New Jerusalem. And John hears a voice from the throne saying, as these visions appear to him, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." That's where all of history is going. He's going to gather all of his people to himself, and they were going to dwell with him forever. That's what God does. He takes the initiative. He graciously reaches out to people who don't deserve it, and he brings them into his family, and he saves them. He washes them, cleanses them, and he's going to recreate everything so that he can be with them forever. So he gathers us to himself. And we gather because he has gathered us. We're just responding to God's gracious initiative. If you are a believer today in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have been gathered to him. You belong to him. That is your identity. You know, people are having identity crises all over the place in our world. We've got identity politics, and everybody's identifying as this, that, or the other. But you don't have to search for any identity as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. God tells you exactly who you are. God has created you for his purposes, and it's all there in the Word. We should know who we are in the Lord. So if you are, this is part of your identity. You've been gathered up to be a follower of God. And so secondly, we gather. Because we have been gathered, we gather. First and foremostly, we gather for worship. Certainly on Sunday mornings at 10:55 and 5 p.m., we gather here at this church. But it's more than that. It's more than just that. Certainly, Sunday morning and Sunday evening worship is important. It's the day that God has granted to us, that where He summons us to come into His presence. We are to rest from our labors and come before Him in worship. Why do we have a call to worship at the beginning of every worship service? It's to remind ourselves that we're not just gathering like people gather at a country club. We're gathering because the Lord has summoned us to come appear before Him, and He's promised to be in our presence. He's promised to meet with us and be with us and teach us and encourage us and to bless us. So that's why we gather on Sunday mornings for sure. But worship is much more than that. The word worship, I say this regularly, the word comes from the Old English worth-ship. And what you're doing when you're worshiping something is you're ascribing ultimate worth to it. Worship is the act of ascribing ultimate worth to something that engages your entire being, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And it's only when you got all three of those working that you're truly worshiping. Now, everybody's worshiping something. You can't. It's humanly impossible not to worship something. I don't care how irreligious a person is. They worship something. And what I mean is, they ascribe ultimate value to something. Everybody that lives has something in their life that they think is more important than everything else. You remember that movie City Slickers? Maybe you saw that if you're old like I am. But this guy was having a midlife crisis, and he goes on one of these vacation cattle drives, and you know, his career's falling apart and his family's kind of having trouble, and And he, at the end of the movie, he discovers that there's only one thing, the most important thing. He figures it out, and of course for him it was the family, and that kind of heals the wounds there and his family and so forth. But he's missed it because that's not the most important thing. God is the most important thing. So everybody ascribes ultimate worth to something. Some people it's money. Some people it's fame. Some people it's family. Some people it's significance and fame. But there's a whole list of things that we can pursue in our lives that we place ultimate value on. You're already worshiping something. The world is not divided into people who don't worship and do worship. No, the world is divided into people who worship the right thing, the thing that human beings were created to worship, the triune God, and then those people who are worshiping the wrong thing, anything that is not God. Everyone always ascribes ultimate value to something. What is most important and valuable to you? Well, sometimes we can shift our values to other things, to wrong things. We can shift our value from God, and we can start living like things are more important. Experiences are more important. We can get kind of lost with our hearts divided. Where do you spend your time and resources? That's a good way to reveal where your heart is. What's most important to you? What are you worshiping? Where do you spend your time and your money, especially other resources? What holds the attention of your life? When you're not thinking about anything else, where does your mind go? What pops up into your head? That's probably what's most important to you at the time. Well, believers in the Lord value Him above all else. Do you value Jesus? Or do you value what Jesus gives you? There's a difference, you know. It makes a difference in the way that you live moment by moment. If Jesus is who you value the most, it changes everything about your life. It influences everything. Just think about it if you worship something else. If money was the driving force in your life, you would spend a lot of time thinking about money, studying about money, trying to figure out how to get more money. You'd be playing the stock market, you'd be investing, you'd be looking at opportunities, you'd be hustling, you'd be trying everything you can do to get money. Now, what about Jesus? I mean, if Jesus is the most valuable thing to you, then you'd be doing the same thing, right? You'd be thinking about Jesus, you'd be studying about Jesus, you'd be talking to Jesus. You'd be pursuing Jesus. You'd be looking for opportunities of how you could get to know Him better, so forth and so on. So where is your value? Is it Jesus? God has graciously provided a way through Jesus for us to be in a relationship where we can truly know and value Him because He first valued us. Have you ever thought about that? The Lord values you. Sometimes we find that hard to believe or hard to even accept. But we are loved with an everlasting love. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because the Lord loved you before the foundation of the world, and nothing can change His love for you. So we love because He first loved us. He loved us so much that He sent His only Son to die in our place so that we could be gathered into the fold of the people of God. And that's why worship is so important. Yes, Sunday morning worship, very important. Sunday evening worship is important as well. Worshiping throughout the day, as our confession says, in the private exercises of worship. Those are things that we do on the Lord's day. But it's just not Sunday morning, it's every day. It's always worshiping the Lord with our lives. And then, because we worship the Lord, we want to be with His people. We want to grow together. We want to learn together. We want to encourage one another. We want to get encouraged. We want to share it with other people that are lost and they don't know this good news, this wonderful relationship that we have. Of all these, when you look at these three things that we're talking about here, gathering, growing, and going, they all work together. When we gather and worship, pray, and fellowship, and work for the kingdom together, we grow and we go. When we grow together, we gather more and more because we're growing. And we go to share what we've learned. And when we go, we become gatherers so other people can gather and they can grow. And in turn, they can go and share it with others. Well, that's the first of what we are all about as a church. And I wanted to encourage you with that and know that we are a church that gathers for a purpose. We gather to worship. We gather because we worship. We gather because He first gathered us. And we want to invite other people who have been gathered by the Lord to join us and to be a part, or to get gathered by the Lord. We want to share the gospel with them so that they can come in and they can grow and become disciples of Christ. Well, the table before us today is a great reminder. We are called to gather at His table. He's invited us to sit down with Him and fellowship with Him. That's what the table is all about. And He is going to feed us spiritually. He's going to provide for His children, those whom He's gathered, to encourage them in their growth and in their mission. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to come before the Lord. Jesus, Lord, we thank You so much for Your grace and Your mercy to us this morning and for all time. Lord, we pray that our hearts would be set upon You, that we would let loose of the idols of the heart, the idols of this life that we tend to run to for all the things that we should find in You. Lord, we pray that You would capture our hearts, that we might truly know You and grow in You and go for You. Lord, we pray as we come to the table today that it would truly be a means of grace for us and that You would build us up in our most holy faith. And if anyone doesn't know You today, Lord, I pray for them. Pray that they would call upon You and cry out to You, and that You would grant them repentance and faith, and that they would turn to You and come to know You in a real way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.